title that the Lord has given me is, don't let them use your anointing. And I'm going to tell y'all what that means. Amen. I'm going to tell you what that means. I feel good today. I feel like God is wrapping up a work that he has been doing in me over the past 7 years. When I say past seven, it's probably been more than that, but wrapping up a work that he's done in me since Pastor Carter has passed. Next year will be 10 years. Amen. Time goes by so fast. But next year will be 10 years. And she often used to tell me, for those who don't know, for our visitors, Pastor Carter was the pastor of this church. She passed away 10 years ago. Almost 10 years ago. But she often used to tell me, son, don't let them use your anointing. And so as I was sitting, in my bedroom on yesterday and preparing on that I had to get ready to preach. And, I thought I was going one way. God took me and he brought me this way. And the word just started coming. It just started coming. And I was sitting there thinking that we all want a spiritual experience, right? We all want to feel the presence of God, but it's crazy because then in the next breath, we'll turn around and say, we want proof. You know, we got to make sense. We want this supernatural experience, but then in the next moment, we turn around asking questions because we want proof or it got to make sense to us, right? And God just say, you know, everybody want this spiritual experience when life is that, period. You, every morning that you wake up, it is a spiritual experience. It is a day that was not promised to you. It is something miraculous taking on that your lungs, that your limbs, that everything about you still works, that your brain is functioning. All of that, every single day you wake up is a miracle. But we go through life wanting these touches from God. We want it to be supernatural, right? And when I first got saved, I used to seek these things out. I used to want God to do something supernatural in my life. When I would step in the church house, I would want a supernatural move of God. I would want the Spirit to fall. And I'm not saying that I don't want those things, but I used to like actively seek those things out. Sometimes to the point, right, that, you know, I'm doing extra because I'm trying to force God's hand. If I pray harder, if I shout harder, if I do this, if I work hard, if I read more, if I do all of these things harder, then I'm going to force God's hand to move. I did that when I first got saved. And I do believe that God honored those things that I was doing because I was sincere in doing them. That makes sense. I don't think he was looking at me like he being fake. I think he was looking at me like he don't know that he don't have to do all that. Because I'm God, I'm going to be God. If he would just seek me in general, right? If he would just seek me in general, if he would just desire me in general, then I'm going to move and he will have a supernatural experience. I hope y'all understand what I'm saying. This is me today. This is me today. That's why I gave a disclaimer. Everybody not going to get this. This is me. Right? If you just seek God in general, you're going to have a supernatural experience. You're going to have those moments when you are overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. You're going to have those moments when you're speaking in tongues. You're going to have those moments when God does the miraculous, when God makes a way out of no way. You're going to have those moments if every day you just seek him sincerely. What I'm saying was when I first started, I thought you had to force his hand. You had to do extra to get that. Right? But 1 Corinthians 13 verses 11 through 13 tells us when I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see things imperfectly like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All I know now is partial and incomplete. But then will I know everything completely. And I'm using that then as time goes on, as we get closer and closer to Jesus' return, whether we alive when he comes back or whether we die and we open our eyes and we're in heaven, then we will see and know everything completely, right? just as God knows us completely. But for right now, there are three things that will last forever. Faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. Why are you reading this passage? Because if you would focus on those three things, you will have a supernatural experience. Faith, you have to believe. You have to believe. You have to hold on to hope. And you have to hold on to love. Love is the greatest of the three. And so now at this stage in my life, 20 years into being saved, at this stage in my life, I'm just now beginning to learn that God is always doing something. That I don't have to force his hand with the fast. I don't have to force his hand with a prayer. I don't have to force his hand by shouting louder, by praying harder. And I'm like, I need, this is me now. I'm going to explain what I'm saying. I'm beginning to learn that he is always doing something in spite of us. We just think we have to force his hand when we don't. But don't get me wrong. There are good works and then there's busy works. So there's this thing called sin. And sin dulls our senses. It makes us dull. It makes us not feel, right? So things like prayer, things like fasting, things like meditating on God's word, service to other, fellowship to other, they sharpen our senses and bring us back into alignment with God. So when I say you don't have to force God's hands with a fast, I'm not saying don't fast. I'm not telling those who are fasting right now that you don't have to do all that to have an experience. Some of you do need to do all of that because your senses are so dull. You need something to put you back in line with God. But some of y'all gonna miss it because you think just because you fasting, you gonna get a blessing on the other side. I hope you understand what I'm saying. If you're doing it just to get the blessing, if you overthinking it, if the majority of your fast, you spending the majority of that time trying to figure out what you're going to eat when you're not on the fast, you're going to miss the point of the fast. So all of those things that I named, those things are good works. Praying earnestly. If you just start praying sincerely, you might start praying louder. You just might start shouting. You just might get overtaken by the Holy Ghost if you open your mouth. But just because you shout loud don't mean God gonna move. It has to be sincere. I hope y'all picking up what I'm putting down. You can't hustle yourself into a blessing. You can't work yourself into a blessing. That is busy work. Anything that you do, including fasting and prayer, anything that you do for personal gain and call it God, it won't work. Anything that you just doing for personal gain, but you call it God, it won't work. And so over the last 20 years, but even more so over the last 7. And I say 7 because from 2015, for just over the last 7 to 9 years without Pastor Carter, this has been a learning experience for me, learning how to be pastor, learning and understanding what she meant when she said, don't let them use your anointing, don't let them kill you. It's been a learning experience for me, you know, when she would say things like, how can I pastor and not know the sheep? So over the past 7 to 9 years, I have been learning so much about who I am to God and who he is to me. And the thing that God has given me this Sunday is that I am anointed. I'm talking about pastor like this. I'm talking about myself now. I am anointed. I say that with confidence, not with arrogance, but my boast is in the Lord. I know that I'm anointed. Right? And I realize that some people in here don't know it. Some people in here have forgotten it. Some people in here don't care. All of the above, all of those things are cool with me. Because when God reveals stuff like what I'm talking about, it will become apparent. Because at the end of the day, God is going to get the glory. There was no way. I know for myself, there was going to be no way. There is going to be no way that I'm going to be able to stand before God and say that nobody told me the word. Because I know somebody, I watched somebody live that thing out in front of me and preach. There's going to be no way, right? So when God, like we've been talking about in Bible study, when God get ready to pull that curtain back and reveal the truth, you're going to know that I'm anointed then. You're going to know that it was other people around you that was anointed. You're going to realize that it was people trying to get to you. You're going to realize that it was people trying to reach you. If you're going to realize that God had surrounded you with things and people, not just in this church, but just throughout your life from the time that you were born, that God had strategically placed people in your life to help you get back home. Lord, I thank you. To be anointed. So when I say that I'm anointed, and this sermon is not about me, but I want y'all to realize something. You got your pen and your paper for the part that's going to come at the end. To be anointed means to be set aside. It means to be consecrated for service. Too many people use that term too lightly, like being anointed, like that's a church joke. Woo, they anointed. But when you are anointed, you are set aside. You can't be anointed and still be a part of the in crowd. You can't be anointed and still walk and dibble and dabble in the world. To be anointed means you are set aside. You are consecrated. And you ain't anointed just to be anointed. You are consecrated. You are set aside for service. So that's why when I look in some of y'all eyes, and I'm looking behind your eyes, I'm looking into your heart, right? When I had those moments like that, that's God reminding me that I'm anointed and why I'm here. He's like, he's saying, son, look at him. You're anointed to tell them about me so that pain, so that grief that's in them doesn't have to be there. You're anointed to tell them about me. You're anointed to walk with them, to hold their hand, to bring them to me. He set me aside for service. He didn't just anoint me so I can sing and make money. Right? People, when you know, we use that term. A lot of times we use that term for people who are gifted at something. But the Bible say that gifts come without repentance. Right? But when a person is truly anointed to sing, it's not just for them. That gift, that anointing to sing, is so that they would lead others to Christ. Everything revolves around the Lord. So when I say I'm anointed, I'm not bragging, like I'm not boasting on myself. I'm anointed to preach, to give it to you in a way that you will understand. I'm anointed to teach, to make it plain to you. I'm anointed to say things that other people probably won't say because they're not anointed. They're scared to say it. They're afraid, some of these pastors are afraid y'all gonna walk away from the church. Or you ain't give, you ain't gonna give. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But because I know I'm anointed, I say things that other people, I tell you to keep your legs closed. I tell you that you in error. I sit you down. I say you can't serve. I let you wrestle with whatever it is, and then that's up to you to decide whether you're gonna walk away or not. Because I'm anointed for service. Yes, I'm your pastor, but I am here because he wants me here. And when he gets ready to take me, he'll move me or take me home. So I understand what I'm here for. That's why sometimes when I get in your presence, you start fast talking, right? You start hiding behind questions. You ask a whole bunch of questions, even though you don't want the answer. Some of y'all go with avoidance. I'm just going to avoid them. I just ain't going to go around them. Right? Some of you start over talking. I can't tell you nothing. Right? You come to me to get an answer, but you spend all the time talking versus listening. Right? There are very few people in here that I can let my guard down with. Right? Because although I'm anointed, I'm still human. I'm not trying, like I'm still a man. I still struggle with things, but there are very few people in here that I can let my guard down with for this reason. Because y'all can't understand how, it's the same thing. You can't understand how somebody can still be human and have faults and still have struggles and still be anointed at the same time and used by God. Lord, I thank you. To be anointed means to be designated and empowered to lead in battle, in service, and in governance. So me saying that I'm anointed means that God has chosen me to lead. When you sign up, when you join a church, it's like you spiritually signing up and saying, I trust this person to lead me. I trust this person to walk with me. I trust this person to advise me. I trust this person to hold me accountable for my wrongdoing. I trust this person to lead me into battle, to help me do the hard things, to help me with my vices, to help me with my sins, to help me with my addictions. I trust this person to lead me into battle. When you go into battle with somebody that's not anointed, you're going to lose. That's why you got all these people go to church and they still bound. Because ain't knowing who fighting the battle, who praying for you, who has access to the throne, who's saying the tough things, who's sitting you down, who calling you out, who don't care if you walk away because they know they're going to be in the same spot when you decide that it's time to come back. Who got that kind of patience? Who got that kind of long suffering? You have to be anointed to do that kind of stuff. Hey, all these folks walking around talking about their ministers. Where's your fruit? I ain't talking about members. Because like that type of fruit can be rotten. You can have 200 members and all 200 pieces can be rotten. I'm talking about where's your power? Where's your long suffering? Where's your patience? Where's your meekness? That's the fruit I'm talking about. You have to be anointed to do this job. And the only reason God has given me success in any of my occupations in life is because he's using me to get the glory. On each level, whether I was working in extended day with little children or in the classroom, or I was a regular member in the church, or a minister or associate pastor or whatever it is, to pastor, to AP, to principal, whatever level I have been on, my goal has always been to invite people into a relationship with Jesus. Never to build a name for myself, never to get rich, but to invite people into a relationship with Jesus. I would sit in the classroom with them high school kids and tell them about Jesus. When I couldn't talk to them or they too young to understand, I would lay hands on them and be praying for them when they didn't even know I was praying for them. I would grab somebody, baby, and be asking God to cover them and use them. Whatever level, I've always known that it was my job, that it was my service, that I was anointed to invite people into a relationship with Jesus. Knowing that if I just plant the seed, even if I don't see the end of it, if I just plant the seed and somebody else got to water it, then I've done my job. To be anointed means to be chosen for a specific mission and empowered by the Holy Spirit to do it. All these people saying they ain't anointed, ain't got no Holy Ghost. How you anointed and ain't got no Holy Ghost? Right? You going through life like hustling and grinding. But if the Holy Ghost is not the leader of that mission, it is going to fail. No Holy Spirit, no anointing. To be anointed means to be favored, which means you're able to hear from God. To be anointed means to be able to possess abundance. Right? And abundance, I'm not talking about material things. I'm talking about an abundance of joy. An abundance of peace in difficult times. You know, the thing that I guess, Pastor, I get convicted about the most as pastor is when I forget that I'm blessed. That's the thing that bothers me the most. When I'm going through something and I find myself complaining and murmuring, and I got to turn around and tell God I'm sorry for complaining and murmuring, that's the thing that bothers me at this point in my life. Like, God, how could I doubt you when you have come through for me so many other times? How can I question you when you have come through for me so many other times? To be anointed, right? He, like, every single time I'm going through a difficult situation, he reminds me that I'm anointed. He reminds me that, like, son, you got so much abundance. You got so many things that other people wish they had. Like, you anointed to do this. Like, it's like he reminds me, like, yeah, you're going through. He say, but I got to remind, I built you for this. I built you to go through the bankruptcy so you can tell somebody else. I built you to be able to minister, to be the pastor of 3PD. I built you to be a principal. I built you to touch kids' lives. I built you to teach. Why are you complaining about the things that I built you for? You're anointed to do this. So when Pastor Carter would say, don't let them use your anointing, right, when she would say that to me, you know, I used to thought it would mean like, don't worry about people. Like, do your thing, don't worry about it. I used to think that's what that meant, but that's not what that means. Right? You got to know the context. And as I'm preaching this word, I got in my notes, I say, notes, I know somebody is already applying this to themselves, talking, walking, you know, that you're getting ready to say, yes, Pastor. Hey, I'm tired of letting these people use my anointing. I'm tired of letting my mom and my siblings and folks use my anointing. You the main one need to slow down. Main one. Lord, I thank you. Number one, you can control the anointing. The anointing just rests on you. The anointing just is. Like I say, no Holy Spirit, no anointing. You can't control the anointing. I can't control the call that I have on my life. I just have to yield to it. Understand what I'm saying? I can't control the calling that I have on my life. If I could control the calling that I have on my life, there would be certain things that I wouldn't want to do. And I would say, breaks. I don't want to do that. I want to do something else. But when there is a calling on your life, when you are anointed to do something, you can't control it. The only thing you can do is choose to obey it or to run from it. You have to yield to it. The anointing just rests. It just is. It just rests on you. It just is in you. And people see it. And when they see it, they want to use it. And they want to use it, right? They want to use it. And sometimes it's subconscious. They want to use it. Man, that man anointed. I want him to pray for me. Because I want to be blessed. You don't necessarily want Jesus. But you see the anointing. You want the prayer. And you want the blessing. Ooh, that man anointed. I want to work for him. Ooh, that man anointed, right? I want him to tell me what God say about me. But then when I tell you, you don't do nothing with it, right? People see it, they either want to use it or they run from it. You can't control the anointing. The only thing that you can do, the only thing that I can do is protect it. The only thing I can do is protect it. And this is what Jesus meant when he said, don't cast your pearls amongst swine. Right? He say, I have given you wisdom. I have given you knowledge. I have given you favor. I have given you abundance. I have given you all of these things. Don't let people abuse it. Don't let people take advantage of it. He didn't say don't care for people, but he said don't let them abuse it. You have to protect it. Right? And so when you are anointed to do something, don't make the mistake of trying to control it. Yield to it. When she would say, don't let them use your anointing, she was saying, don't let them use you in places where you were not called to do things you were not called to do that strip you of your abundance and joy. See, sometimes Pastor T thinks I'm Superman. And she's often trying to encourage me to do X, Y, and Z. And she had conversations with me and say, did you tell them or did you say X, Y, and Z to them? And I know why she's doing it. She's doing it because she has confidence in me. She's doing it because she lives with me and she knows that I'm a man of God and she believes. It's like, and what I'm explaining to you is like, When please don't think I'm comparing myself to Jesus, but this is the example that I'm going to use. When Jesus' mama went up to him at the wedding and said, "Son, they ain't got no more wine." And he was like, "Mommy, it ain't time for me to do that." But he did it anyway. She asked him that because she knew he could. Right? And so Jesus did it anyway. And that's what I was telling y'all in the beginning of my walk. I was doing all of this extra stuff. And I believe God was, he honored it because he knew I was sincere. But over the years, he's taught me like, "Son, when you open your mouth, I hear you. When you pray to me, I hear you. When you step, I know that you're going to yield. You're going to obey my voice." Like when he says, "My sheep know my voice," I know you're going to do that because I've anointed you to do that. After 20 years, I'm just now starting to really understand how to use my anointing. That's what I'm trying to tell y'all. Right? She'll say she has this confidence in me to do these things. But sometimes I just don't go silent. I go silent, or I don't move as quickly as she likes or do what she thinks I should do because I don't feel called to meet every need. Some of y'all fasting, but I'm not fasting. I wasn't called to. And I felt like if I did it, even though I wasn't called to do it, then what am I doing it for? But see, some of y'all did it anyway, even though you weren't called to do it. Some of y'all probably have broken it and just ain't told nobody. Right? Some of y'all did it because you felt like you were going to be left behind. You were afraid that you were going to be left behind if everybody else did it and you didn't do it. You missing the point of it. You got to know God for yourself. Understand what he's calling you to do. Understand what he's preparing for you to do. And then yield to the voice. But that's where the Holy Spirit come in at. No Holy Spirit, no anointing. No Holy Spirit, no discernment. Certain things I wouldn't do because I didn't feel that I was called to do them, right? I used to operate like that, and it was exhausting. When you walk around, when you are anointed to preach the good news, tell me where you can go where you're not going to see a need. Tell me what store, what job, what place you're going to go in and not see a need. If you walk into a place and see, if I walk into a school building and see a need and I go about trying to fix every need, I'm going to pass out. I have to let God be God and move when the Spirit tells me to move. And so Pastor Carter would speak this statement to me. She would say, "Son, don't let them use your anointing." She would speak this statement to me, right? It would always be in close quarters. She would never just say it out loud. Or even if she said it out loud, when she would, like in this type of setting where others could hear it, she would always one-on-one, she would explain to me or try to explain to me what she meant, right? So it was not just a random or general statement. But she would always speak this statement to me when I was being discouraged. And most of the time I was feeling discouraged because I was pouring out, trying to pray harder, trying to serve harder, trying to do all of these things. And then the people would let me down. And she would use it. She would say, "Son, don't let them use your anointing to encourage me." Right? Can y'all be anointed? Yes. Are you anointed is another question. You don't choose to be. God chooses you. You can't just hear me talking about the anointing today and decide, "Man, I'm anointed." That ain't how that works. You can't choose to be. God chooses you. And when you know you are, right, and you know when you are anointed, because you just know. A man can't tell you. I can't tell you you're anointed. You just know. Right? A man can't tell you, but others can see it. Sometimes that's when people walk up to you and they try to tell you, and you be like, "Man, I don't see that. I don't see that." Right? Oh, no. Because you don't know you're anointed until you know that you're anointed. I can't explain that. It's me today. It's something that only God can tell you that man can't take away from you. And I need y'all to go back when you listen or you reading or you go back to your notes. Please understand that what I'm talking about is not gifting. I've already telling you that gifts come without repentance. What I'm talking about is what you are called by God to do, what you are supernaturally equipped to do. Only God can tell you that. A man can't, pastor can't tell you that. I can't tell you that. You know it when you know it. And you know it because the urge will be so strong to do something for God, not for yourself. If the urge is to do something for yourself, if the urge is telling you, ooh, go start your own business, that ain't the anointing. That's your ambition. There's nothing wrong with ambition, but that's not the anointing. Don't confuse the two. You might have ambition, right? It's the same thing as your job not being your calling. They're two separate things, right? The disciples were fishermen for their day job, but their spiritual calling was to be fishers of men. Two separate things. You'll know that you're anointed to do something when the urge is so strong to do something for God that you feel, I have no other choice. I'm either going to yield to this feeling or I'm going to run from it. And when you run from it, you feel worse than you felt when you received it.
Amen.
That's how you know it's the anointing. Everyone is not anointed. For many are called, but few are chosen. Everybody, why you say that, Pastor? Why you say everybody not anointed? Because you're either going to yield to it or you're going to run from it. And most people run from it. Most people run from it. When they get that urge to do something for God, then they get afraid. I ain't gonna have no friends. I'm gonna have to suffer. If I get the Holy Ghost, I might die. I don't know what's gonna happen. I'm scared to fall. I'm scared to shout. I'm scared about what people gonna think. You run from it. Can you be anointed? Yes. Are you? That's another question. Is God trying to talk to every person in this room? Yes. Will you obey or will you run? I can't answer that for you. Right? You get that call from God. You have that urge to do something. I can't do that. My husband gonna disagree. My wife gonna disagree. My mama gonna disagree. Jesus said, unless you forsake, unless you hate your mother and your father. Right? Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. You hold on to that grief, you ain't going to walk in no anointing. Am I telling you not to remember your loved ones? Not to think on them? Right? But when that grief cripples you from going places and doing things that God has called you to do, no anointing. The urge has to be so strong that it's God over everything. Pastor Carter would speak this to me when I was going through a difficult time or I felt discouraged. I would be so hyped to do ministry only to be crushed or defeated when the very people I sought to help didn't respond to the good news. I used to stand in the pulpit and be so mad because the people were quiet like this. I wasn't getting no amens. I wasn't getting no amen, real amen. I would think, man, they don't love God. I used to let that bother me. But now y'all see I can preach a whole 30 minutes in the quiet. Right? She would tell me, like, don't let them use your anointing. Be encouraged. So the last half of my life, right, so for the last 20 years, I have been trying to walk in my anointing. Not the anointing that people throw around and that they play with, but I've been trying to walk in this call to lead people to salvation. And when you lean to people to salvation, you ain't busting them over the head with scripture. You just living for Jesus every day. They see the anointing on you. A door opens for you to share Christ, and you do it with no shame. You ain't walking around saying, on none of my jobs have I walked around and said I'm a minister or I'm a pastor. Somebody asked me, say, are you a pastor? I say, yes. I don't walk and say, yeah, I'm pastor such and such. I'm reverend. I'm bishop. If they find out I am, they be like, oh, that's why you act like that. Yes, that's why. Because when it's on you, people are going to see it. So for the last 20 years, I've been trying to walk in this calling to lead people to salvation. And so I believe that when Pastor Carter would tell me this, I believe she would see this anointing on me. She would see me trying so hard. She would see me get abused and discouraged. And then she would step in and encourage me. Right? And I see a calling. I see a calling on many of you. The anointing, not so much. I see a calling on many of you. And I just read to you in Matthew that many are called, but few are chosen. Is Pastor saying that God will not choose you? No, I'm not saying that. Can you have the anointing? Yes. Do you have it is another question. Yes, you can. I see a calling on many of you, but the anointing is a different thing. I prayed for a few people in this church to have and to walk in the same anointing that was given to me. If you win here, stand up. I think Izzy took the baby to bed. So she don't understand that thing right now. But one day she will, right? So when I'm praying that prayer, that is what I'm talking about. To walk in the same call, to bring people to salvation. I told y'all this meat, and I told y'all it went for everybody, right? Some people have, you know, they're not of age. The others rejected. I see the anointing on Pastor T. So this is my charge. Thus saith the Lord to you. Don't let them use it. You might not understand what I'm saying today, but my prayer is that you will. You can't talk. You can't teach. You can't pray people into right to relationship. Your prayers matter. You pray so hard because your prayers are designed to sharpen and awaken the senses of people who are asleep. But ultimately, they got to open the door. Don't let them use your anointing. She prays so hard for me. Y'all, this lady right here, she prays so hard for me. I mean, this is part of what thus saith the Lord to you too. She prays so hard for me, and I do need her prayers. But I want you to know that God still speaks to me, that he abides in me. I think she has the fear. I thank God she was showing me that. I think you had the fear that I'm not loose. I'm not free to walk in my anointing. But I just realized that for the last couple of years, God was doing a shift in my life. I want you to know that he has control of my thoughts, that he convicts me daily, and that he loves me unfailingly. I know this about myself. I need you to know that I'm working out my salvation in fear and trembling. When I first met Pastor Carter and I sat in the living room, one of the first things that she told me, she said, son, some of y'all ain't gonna get this. She said, son, she said, you have a seal in the middle of your forehead. She said, it looked like God stamped you in the middle of your forehead. And when she said that, I immediately remember when my father told me, I maybe was 14 years old, I was like Ethan age. He said, when you were born, and I can't remember why he shared this with me. He said, when you were born and I took you to my mama's house, the first thing she said, the first thing that my grandmother said was, he gonna be a preacher. So the first time that I sat in Pastor Carter's house and she said, you have a seal on your head. That was my first time really thinking about what it means to be called by God, to be anointed, to do something. So I got to tell y'all today that if you're not really concerned with worshiping God and fulfilling your purpose, which is only to bring him glory, do not confuse your purpose with doing these little jobs to make money. If you are not concerned with worshiping God and fulfilling your purpose, which is to bring him glory, you're not going to really understand this message and what it means to be anointed and why this message is so relevant now. And so this last thing that I am going to say, so Brother Marcus, you can get ready for the altar call. This last thing that I'm going to say, I pray that it falls on your heart, just like our minister, prayed. I pray that it falls on good soil. Because I say this with all seriousness. Thus saith the Lord, speaking to this house. Thus saith the Lord, let him who hath an ear understand what the Spirit is speaking to the church right now. A storm is coming. And your leaders have walked through it. And this is just not a reference to me and Pastor T. Your leaders have walked through it. God says you should know who he's talking about by the fruit that they bear. They have prepared a table for you. Over the last couple of years, God has said, don't your leaders, there have been people in this church who have been preparing a table for you in the presence of your enemies and giving you manna, giving you the word from heaven. And they did this by my example. God says, do you not know that man shall not live by bread alone? Why do you chase after things that won't last or act as if I can't see you? He says, now is the time for the wheat and the tares to be separated. And he should do the separating. You have failed your spouses and your children. You have neglected your obligations. And you have used my anointing. You have rejected my teaching, forsaken my fellowship, and slandered the names of my servants with gossip. As they prosper, you will fail. As they labor, you will languish in toil unfulfilled. Those who have faithfully worked beside them will glean. Those who have done so in name only will be forgotten. Unless you repent, you will be destroyed. God has spoken.